the record an interview with Esther Posell in North Hollywood, California. Now, this is Mary Ellen Schmieder interviewing Esther Posell at her home in North Hollywood, California. Esther, would you say something so I can catch your voice on the mic?
Well, I feel very honored that you picked me to be interviewed, and I think it's going to be a very interesting experience.
Thank you. Well, you are one of the graduates who comes from the very early years at Morehead State. When did you begin college at Morehead, and what was it called then?
Well, it was called a normal school.
Mm-hmm.
And I started in the winter quarter in 1912.
Oh, my.
And I did not stay at the dorms. There was Wheeler Hall and Comstock Hall at that time, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in a room, or rented a room, on with a family on, I think it was on corner of 8th Street and about 9th Avenue.
Oh. I bet that was almost the edge of town at that point, wasn't it?
Pardon?
Wasn't that close to the edge of town at that time?
Yes, it was. It was almost out in the country.
Yeah. And you had to walk in the long winter days?
Oh, yes. I used to kitty corner across the cemetery.
Yes.
That's on 8th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd run across that cemetery, and sometimes we were late. And one time, I remember, I got up real early, it was dark, and I had put my black skirt on wrong side out, and not knowing it, and of course crossing the cemetery, no one would notice it.
Oh dear. Oh
not
dear.
In that part of town.
No.
Anyway, when I got to school, I noticed it, and I was so relieved that I didn't think anyone had seen it. I would have been marked for life if anyone had seen me with my skirt wrong side out. And I quickly changed it, of course, in my locker room.
Surely.
It saved the day.
Now, where was the locker room? Where were the locker rooms?
The locker room was, I think we came in from through the big front door and it off to the right. It was quite a large room with lots of lockers. Each student had a locker.
Oh.
With a combination.
I see. So you kept... You could keep clothing and books, and or was it used for physical education classes too, and so on, or did you have physical education classes?
We had physical education classes. Yes, we used a gymnasium for that.
Okay, so this was different.
Yes, this is a different room. It was only the lockers in that room.
I see. Well, now why did you choose to come to Morehead State or to the normal school?
Well, when I graduated from the 8th grade, I wanted to go on to school. And I wanted to become a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And my older sister was a teacher. My mother was a teacher in Sweden.
Oh, really?
Yes, for 10 years.
Oh, my.
And so I enrolled at the normal school.
After 8th grade?
After the 8th grade.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So you were very young when you came there.
I was very young, yes.
And you lived in town already at that age?
No, I lived on a farm about 10 miles south of Morehead.
I see. And your father farmed, or?
Yes, my father was a farmer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of what?
Oh, potatoes and wheat and barley and mm-hmm. oats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you have an older sister who went to college and became a teacher?
I had an older sister that went to a normal school and was teaching at that time.
I see. Did you have any other brothers and sisters?
I had four brothers.
Did they go to college too?
My older brothers went to a business college in Fargo, Dakota. Oh. Business College.
Okay. And did they go back to the farm then, or did they
Yes,
then
they went back to the farm, and they were farmers, mm-hmm. became farmers. Mm-hmm.
But the girls both went to college to become teachers?
Yes, three of us, all three of us, yes. My younger sister also went
did
to
she,
normal school.
Did she go to Morehead Normal too?
Yes, she went to Morehead Normal School.
And did your older sister go to Morehead Normal too?
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm.
And you all got, what, two-year certificates?
Yes.
And you all taught?
We all taught, yes.
Isn't that marvelous?
Uh-huh.
That is just...
Yeah.
Now, what, and your mother had been an educated woman in Sweden before.
Yes.
Did both your parents come from Sweden?
Yes, they both came from Sweden.
Have they been married there and came as adults, or did they meet here?
No, they were married after they came. They met after they came to United States.
I see. Mm-hmm. I see.
Mm-hmm. They were married in Morehead.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So, you were at Morehead State in 1912, and you came the winter quarter, and you roomed in a house several blocks from the campus.
Yes.
You were on your own very young then. You were on your own very young.
Oh, yes. It was customary for a lot of the girls to have two or three girls room with them, and we did our own cooking. We did light housekeeping rooms.
I see.
And in those years, the rules at the state teachers at the normal school were very strict. The dean of women would not allow a family to have girl students if there was a young man in the house, like a son or
yes,
they could not.
Very dangerous situation. Yeah.
Quite a change.
Yes. Well, now, did you have two or three friends that you roomed with then, or were you alone in this house? Were you alone, or were you with two or three other women?
Oh, I was with two or three other girls.
Now, did you have to work in the home to pay your keep, or did
no.
you pay rent? Or
no, we paid rent.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have duties in the home?
No,
other
we
had
no. No,
I see.
We just had our own room, and we paid rent.
I see.
Uh-huh.
And so you could go to school full time.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you remember what it cost?
Don't remember what it cost per month. It wasn't very much.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember. But I remember the tuition.
What was that?
That was $1.50 for 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Later, it's $3.
Mm-hmm.
So.
In those days, that was not even a bargain, was it?
That's right.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. marvelous.
Yeah.
Well, now, how did you get books in those days? Did you have...
Oh.
How was that done?
Well, the books were furnished by the state, so we didn't have to pay for the books. And when we were through at the end of the quarter, we had to turn them back.
Mm-hmm. And so there was no bookstore and
no, didn't have any bookstore. And
huh.
Of course, we had a library. But
surely. Well, now, when you were at Morehead Normal, was the original old main building there, and what was it like?
Yes, the old main
mm-hmm.
was there. It was a wooden structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the fire.
You do remember the fire?
Yes, I do.
Now, you were living in Morehead at this time.
I was on the farm at that time.
We
could see from 10 miles away, we could see the light in the sky.
Oh, my.
When that building burned.
Oh.
It was very, very plain.
Mm-hmm. What was the reaction in the community when that happened?
Oh, it was catastrophic. It just seemed like it was a terrible thing
yeah.
in those years. It was one of the biggest fires I suppose Morehead had ever had.
Yeah. And it destroyed a lot.
Yes, all the records were destroyed and, mm-hmm. and all. Mm-hmm.
So the record of your having been at Morehead Normal is only what you have?
Yes. There's no. They were all burned.
Mm-hmm. Now, was the campus school there when you were a student?
Yes.
Now, did you take practical courses and work with students while you were a student, or how was it used?
I didn't do any practice teaching, as they called it in those days, but I took, one time I remember, I took rural school methods.
Okay.
And I learned so much from that teacher. I had such a wonderful teacher, and I wish I could remember her name. But I felt very well equipped to go out and teach. And I felt that I could teach my children
mm-hmm.
in my school how to read, and I had a wonderful grammar teacher. His name was Mr. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew grammar backwards and forwards, and I could teach grammar so well. And
mm-hmm.
I had such good teachers. I just felt that I was a good teacher myself.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
And I think I was.
Yeah. I suspect you were too. Yeah. Well, now, what subjects did you take? You have your report card here. Let's take a look at that.
Well, I remember I took algebra, and I took that from a teacher named Miss Leonard.
Oh.
Is there a building named
No, there's not a Leonard building, no.
And that was hard for me, but I guess I made it. And I took arithmetic, civics, composition,
mm-hmm.
And
I see American history there too.
American history.
Mm-hmm.
Grammar. And so, and of course, we all had to take gym.
And what did you do there?
Oh, we could choose. We could take gym, or we could take basketball. We girls.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. The girls had a basketball team.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play with other schools then?
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. I took basketball one quarter. I guess I wasn't cut out to be an athlete. I only took it one quarter and then went back to gym.
Mm-hmm. What did you do in gym?
Oh, formations and exercises and so forth. I don't just remember. But I remember the big black sateen bloomers that we wore. Oh, there must have been 3-4 yards of material in each one.
Yeah.
And then we had white middies.
Uh-huh.
Midi blouse. And I think we really looked very nice.
I suspect you did, yeah.
All dressed alike. And
How long were the bloomers? Did they come to the knees?
They just came to our knees.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no Nike tennis shoes in those days?
I think we had tennis shoes. Yes, I think we did.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But you did formations and exercises and general workout to be strong. Was there a sense that girls ought to be athletic and ought to be physically in shape at that time? There's so much emphasis on that now.
I don't think so.
No?
Not in those years, I don't think. I think the girls that wanted to take gym or go into basketball, they did it because they liked it and wanted
mm-hmm.
to.
What do you remember most about those years? If you were about the life on the campus, or the kinds of students you were with, or what was fun? What did you do for pleasure?
I don't remember. Being we didn't stay at the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I guess I wasn't in with the kids on the campus so much,
mm-hmm.
but we went to basketball games and they had concerts and things like that I went to,
mm-hmm.
and I remember we all had to go to convocation or chapel.
Was that every day?
Every day.
Every day.
Every morning. Every forenoon.
Mm-hmm.
And. Then all the instructors were there, and they all sat up on the stage.
Oh.
And when I sat back there and looked at those learned people, I just held them in awe. I thought, I never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that my children or my grandchildren would ever teach in universities or be like them.
Mm-hmm.
They were so far above us students that mm-hmm. we were just.
So it was an important and meaningful thing to be there as a student.
Oh, it was very much so. I loved it.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you stayed just in the winter in 1912 and 1913, or did you go all year then? And then go out and teach? Or how did your stay work?
I think I went 2 years, and then I went out and taught 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then I came back and went 2 years again.
I see.
And then I went back to teaching again.
Now, you taught in the rural schools, right?
Yes.
So you taught what, grades 1 through 8?
Yes.
Now, where did you teach?
My first school was at Averill, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That was near Felton.
Mm-hmm.
My second school was at Baker, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught the two schools.
And you were the only teacher in town, right?
Yes.
How many students did you have in a class?
Well, the first year I probably had about 10.
Mm-hmm.
And second school, I had 18 enrolled.
And they were all grade levels?
Maybe not all grades, but most of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one or two in each class.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Did you get help from the normal school teacher assistants that would help you learn how to deal with that range, or were you on your own once you were there?
We were very much on our own, although we did go into, for some kind of, oh, I forgot what they were called, some kind of teachers' meetings that mm-hmm. we went in mm-hmm. and kind of got refresher mm-hmm. courses, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. and helped. Mm-hmm. And then we had a magazine that we got every month. I forgot the name of that. Mm-hmm. That was a big help.
With teacher tips in it.
Yes, with teachers' helps in it. Mm-hmm. We always, that helped a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, how much did you earn doing that teaching?
I earned $45 a month the first year. Mm-hmm. Then I think I got up to 50. And then the last 2 years I got 75.
Oh.
But I paid $18 a month for board the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the first 2 years I think I paid 10.
Mm-hmm. So the prices of everything went up?
Yes.
Now those were, the last 2 years you taught then were the war years, weren't they?
Yes, they were, yes.
Was there some difference? Did you sense things different about life in Western Minnesota when America got into the war, or did it touch the Midwest so much?
Oh yes, it was quite different. The last 2 years were quite different than the first 2 years.
In what way?
The last 2 years, people had automobiles, mm-hmm. and everything was more. There was more affluence in the country, and mm-hmm. and everybody. So many of the men went off to war, and it was just a different feeling. Mm-hmm. There seemed to be a different atmosphere.
Was there a strong sense of patriotism or of wanting to be part of the
very
war?
Much so, very much so. Everybody helped, worked with the Red Cross, did things for the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. We had Red Cross meetings, and the last school where I taught, we had home talent plays, mm-hmm. and we raised money for the Red Cross.
Oh.
And we knitted sweaters and wool scarves and bought stamps. What were they called? Those stamps that we bought for the...
I don't know.
Oh, I can't think of it.
So there was a good deal of effort then.
Yes,
in the
a lot of effort, yes.
Now, what town were you in those years? You said you were in Averill and then in another town, and then did you go to a third town in those
No, those were the two towns that I taught in, yes.
Okay, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, now, then when did you give up teaching, or when did you end your teaching career?
I ended in the spring of 1919.
To get married?
Yes. I got married on November 11th in 1919.
And where did you meet your husband?
I met him there in that town where I was teaching.
I see. And was he a farmer? Or
he was farming, but he had also gone away to school in St. Paul. Mm-hmm. And he was away in school the first year I was there to college. And then the second year he didn't go back because he was needed on the farm. Mm-hmm. And he enlisted just shortly before the war was over, and he never saw service, didn't go into the service.
So you married and then spent your time raising children and working as a farm wife, is that it?
Yes, we farmed the first 13 years, mm-hmm. and then we moved into Moorhead.
I see. And then you became a watcher of the college, is that right?
Yes.
What can you tell me about, now let me see, that would make it about what, 1930? No, you were
something
still
like
on
that,
the farm.
Yes.
You were still on the farm when the Great Fire came. So you must have come to town when? In the middle
about
of
1930. I suppose 19... Yeah, about 1930. Because
okay.
Duke was born in 1929, and he was born on the farm.
Okay.
I mean, we
mm-hmm.
were on the farm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell me what the townspeople thought of the college. How did the town look at Moorhead Normal and Moorhead State? It became the State Teachers College by then, I know.
Oh, I'm sure that the town people were very proud of the Normal School.
Mm-hmm. Was there a sense of rivalry already with the other colleges in the area?
With Concordia, there was.
Was there?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the only other college in Moorhead at that time.
Mm-hmm. How did that show? How did that?
Well, I guess mostly through the sports, the athletic part of it, and maybe some of in debate.
Oh, really?
And such.
Did you take part in any campus activities, by the way, in the teens when you were there, or were you busy enough studying and walking back and forth to your residence? Were there activities that you participated in?
I didn't take part so very much. I took part in about once a year they'd have one big concert, and I was in the alto section.
Oh, you were?
For that. And they built a big stage with extra places for us to stand and put on this big concert. I remember that.
Where was that? What building?
That was in Weld Hall. No, wait a minute. That was in Old Main.
In Old Main.
When they didn't have Weld Hall then, I guess.
I think that's 1906 or 16, maybe.
I don't know, but I know the first years we didn't meet for convocation and chapel in Weld. We met in a big auditorium in the Old Main.
Okay.
A great big auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the seats being in a kind of a circular position.
Amphitheater-like.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like, yeah.
And you had daily chapel there, and then a big concert at the end of the year. And there were debating societies on the campus, and there were sports.
Yes.
Who do you remember from those days? Who was either a faculty member or an outstanding student?
Well, I remember some of the teachers that I very much admired.
Like whom?
Mr. Martin and Miss Leonard. And I remember the name of the Dean of Women. Her name was Miss Thornton. She had red hair, and she was a very lovely person. And I think Millie Dahl came along a little bit later. And she was a sweet little thing. And there were very few boys, men students, probably 10 or 12 only.
Oh, really?
The first years that I went.
How many students were there in all?
I was trying to think, and I just can't say. Mm-hmm. I would guess maybe 150 or so. But
yeah,
probably only 10 or 12 men students. And the president's name was Dr. Weld. And he had a son by the name of Frank. And I remember him. And he, in class, he was a flyer in the World War I. And sometimes when he got caught with a question he couldn't answer, he would start talking about his flying experiences. And that way he got off the hook.
I see.
He was, and the girls, being so many girls and so few boys, if any of the boys just said a dozen words to a girl, the rest of us were kind of envious. And there was another boy, his name was Roy Carlander. He was a basketball star. He was very tall. And later on he was the mailman that delivered the mail when I was working at the student center.
Oh my.
He has retired now.
So you kept contact with some of the people you knew then?
Yes. My roommate that I had, her name was Clara Carlson. I was with her last summer.
Oh, were you? Where is she now?
She lives in Moorhead. She was a librarian. And she's retired, of course, and has a nice life in Moorhead, lives alone. And I also roomed with girls, their name were the Carlstrom girls. There were nine.
Sounds like a Swedish society you had there.
Pardon?
Sounds like you had a little Swedish society there.
Yes. Well, this family, there were seven girls in that family, and all of them went to normal school, to Moorhead Normal School.
Do you know why? I mean, do you know why their parents or they chose to do that?
I think for one reason, in those days, people didn't have very much money, and a dollar and a half tuition was almost nothing, and it seemed to be a trend for the girls to go to normal school, to be a teacher. That seemed to be the thing for a girl to do.
If she were interested in really doing something with her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there was a great deal of respect for teachers, right?
Pardon?
There was a great deal of respect for teachers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, Weld was president when you were there, and Millie Dahl came during those years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dahl Hall is named for her, you know.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know
now,
that.
Now, you say she was a sweet little thing. Now,
yes,
can
she
you
was.
Say any more? What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know. She was just that way.
She didn't strike fear and trembling into you.
She what?
She didn't strike fear and trembling into you or anything.
No.
No. Well, let's go back to the 30s, and I jumped back in time there, but I wanted to get some more of the sense of things. In the 30s, was there a difference in the way the campus was from the way it was in 1912 when you first went there? It had become a state college by that time. It was, I think, the four-year degree was in by that time. What changes did you see from the time you were a student there?
I didn't quite.
Well, when you were a student in 1912, you say there were 150 people, mostly women, two buildings.
Mm-hmm.
By the 30s, what was it like to look at the campus?
Well, Weld Hall was there then,
mm-hmm.
and of course a new building,
mm-hmm.
the one that's there now.
Yes.
And of course a big circle, I guess that always was there,
mm-hmm.
when I, way back in 1912.
You mean the center mall of the
yes.
campus?
Yeah.
That was always...
That was called the Big Circle.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And that... It was just a... What kind of... Just for the beautification of the campus.
Were some of the trees that are there now planted while you were a student?
I think they are. I think they are still there, the same ones, I'm sure.
Were some of them planted by people during the years you were there, or was that mall in there? I mean, that part of the valley doesn't have a lot of forest, naturally. I wondered.
I don't know. I think there were some trees there, and it was very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And the walks went around it, and you could go to Weld Hall around this way or around the other way to
mm-hmm.
get to Weld Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Weld Hall.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when did you go back to the campus as an employee? When did you get a job on the campus?
About probably 1943.
What made you decide to do that?
I was, it was during the war, and we were all looking for work, and at that time they had the
Yes, there was a reserve officers training
yeah,
of some
yes,
sort.
Yes, they had a training.
Didn't they call it Nemzik's Army or something? Or
yes, something like that.
Didn't Slim Nemzik, wasn't he the chief officer?
I think he was,
yeah.
Company B.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all the students had to move out into homes and wherever they could find. And then the men all took over and stayed in the dorms.
Oh.
And the dining room was turned over to the army,
mm-hmm.
and they were all, and the kitchen at the dorm, they fed the army,
mm-hmm.
and they all ate in that dorm, or in the dining room.
What dorm was that in?
Well, not the dorm, but the army.
Oh, the student union
yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, the dining room, a great big dining room that they had for their students
uh-huh.
during those years. The students would eat there.
Do you know what building that was in?
I think it was in the main building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite sure.
Mm-hmm. And so the students
couldn't
eat on campus anymore, just the army could?
Pardon?
So during those years the students could not eat on campus anymore?
No.
Only the army?
No. Built or fixed a place in the main building where they fed the students,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a, kind of more like a cafeteria,
mm-hmm.
and then the students ate there.
Mm-hmm. About how many students were there in those years?
Well, there were more then, of course. Probably, maybe 500.
Mm-hmm.
500, 600.
Were most of them women again?
Women.
Were most of them women students again?
Well, no, there were a lot of men students at that time.
There were even...
Quite a few then. Quite a few men students. Mm-hmm.
But what about the war and its effect on that? Were the students who were in, were the army people taking classes, or were they just housed there? Well, I don't understand.
No, the army people had their drilling and their in preparation to move on.
I see.
I just don't remember what branch of the army was there. I can't remember that.
Oh, service. I see from the yearbook all the service hats. All the men are wearing Army, Navy, and Air Force hats in their pictures. Isn't that interesting?
Gold Star
servicemen. They were all killed, huh?
Yes, they were the ones that were killed.
Mm-hmm. Oh my!
And then during that time, when I was working at the student center and I was taking care of the mail,
mm-hmm.
The girls would come and just hope for a letter from their boyfriends that were in the service.
Hmm.
And of course I was almost as happy as they were when there was a letter for them.
Yeah.
I felt so sorry for them. They were always waiting for letters
from
their boyfriends. But
I see a couple of women who entered the service here too.
Yeah, there were some women too.
Well, now, here is someone who lives in California, and I'm trying to find him. You don't know where he is, do you?
No, I don't.
I've got an address in Chatsworth, but I couldn't get a phone number. I got two phone numbers for someone named Fair, and neither of them is Lyle Fair, but he and his wife are supposedly out here.
Oh, wouldn't that be good if you could get him?
Yeah, I would like to interview him.
Yes.
But I haven't. You're not in touch.
No, I'm not in touch.
No.
I wish I could remember what branch of the service was there. It wasn't the Air Force.
No.
Well, anyway, that changed the atmosphere of the campus with all those servicemen there.
What did it do particularly? I mean, it changed the atmosphere in what way?
Well, with all those men there all the time, and the girls dated a lot of them, and a lot of them got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's just...
So times were less concerned maybe with academic life and more with the life of the country or with the war?
Oh, I think maybe the academic was stayed the same, but we were all very much war-minded,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Now, you worked in the student mailbox area.
Student exchange,
student
it was called.
Student exchange.
Yes.
For how many years were you there?
At about 6 years.
From 1943 to 49?
Something like that. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, tell me what you did there and what you saw and who impressed you. What students and what faculty?
Oh, I remember Dr. Kesey, and Dr. Snar was the president at that time.
What was he like?
He was very nice and very easy to work for, and very well. I think he was a very good president. I didn't see so very much of him. He'd just come down to get his mail, and didn't always do that because his secretary usually did. I really didn't see so much of him. But he hired me.
Oh, he did.
I got a telephone call one day and from him asking me to come up to the college. He'd like to see me. And well, prior to that, I had worked in the cafeteria and with Ma Jackson.
Oh, well, tell me about her.
She was a heavyset lady, and she was a patroness for the men's fraternity, the Owls.
Oh, yes.
And she'd have them, she just babied those men and took care if they were hurt. And she'd go to all the athletic games and things, and if any of them got hurt, She was kind of a nurse. She would bind them up and bind the wounds and take care of them and had them over to her house. And she was Ma Jackson. Mm-hmm. And she was the cook at this cafeteria. And so I worked for her to start with. And that's when Dr. Snar called me to come up to see him. And the girl, or the lady who had been working at the student exchange, I don't know where she went, but anyway, they needed someone there. And they asked if I would take over. And I was kind of floored. I didn't think I could do it. And but I was encouraged to try. Mm-hmm. And of course I had to learn to run the telephone exchange and
oh, surely.
All of that. But I tried, and there was a Dr. Snar's secretary. Her name was Mrs. Vowles. She helped me a lot mm-hmm. and got me started. So I caught on, and I liked it. It was one of the nicest jobs I ever had.
Did you work from then on?
Yes, and I stayed on.
Now, what you did there then was work the telephone exchange and do the student and faculty mail, and what else happened there?
Well, in those years, it was hard to buy candy, so we always had...
I suppose sugar was rationed.
Sugar short, yeah,
sure.
Short of sugar. So when the candy man came and filled my case with candy, the students just swarmed over in that morning. He'd probably come about twice a week. And they were all swarming around there wanting to buy candy.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of fun to be able to sell them the candy. And then I had also had some supplies like paper, art paper and little things like that, nothing big.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very pleasant job. But the telephone exchange kept me busy.
Sure.
That I had to answer, leave everything else to when that rang, I had to run.
Sure.
Even I was putting out mail, and sometimes it was hard to get the mail out because the phone was ringing all the time.
Sure.
So I'd have to do it as best I could.
And now, you said you met Snar, of course, during those days. He hired you. Who else was around the exchange a lot? Who did you get to know on the campus?
Well, I really got to know all the instructors because they came for their mail and sometimes stopped to chat. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they're all in here.
Tell me who you think about first when you think about faculty. Who is the character of all?
Miss McKellar stands out in my mind.
Jessie McKellar.
And Delcy Holmquist.
Okay. What were they like?
Well, Miss McKellar was... She was just a lovely, tall, gracious person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Miss Holmquist was very lovable and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's so long ago, I really don't remember.
Well, you know, Jessie McKellar was just inducted into, I think she's the first woman in the Dragon Hall of Fame, and she was inducted this homecoming, so she was back on the campus.
Oh.
Just in October.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So it's interesting that she's one that you remembered from those days.
Yes, she was kind of special. And there was a Miss Solem
mm-hmm.
that I especially liked.
What was she like?
She was very considerate and very thoughtful. And I remember I had to go to the hospital for some kind of minor operation, and she sent a rose up to me. And I always remember that. And she was really very special.
Mm-hmm. What did she teach?
Miss Solem, what did she teach? Oh, I really don't remember. Oh, no, I remember Beatrice Lewis.
Tell me about B. Lewis.
B. Lewis was very, very perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
I think. Mm-hmm. And I think all the kids were a little bit afraid of her.
Mm-hmm.
She was very, very kind of strict, and everybody had to be on the ball with her.
What was her job? I don't remember. B. Lewis was, let's see.
She was a secretary.
She was a secretary. To whom?
Well, she worked in the office. That's pretty all I can see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and there you are, too.
Here I am, yeah. Here's Ma Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Jenny Owens, I remember her. She, I think she was a secretary. Or worked in the office.
She was registrar, I believe.
Yeah, registrar, yeah. Oh, and the registrar, when I went to school in 1912, if I want to digress.
Sure.
I think her name was Miss Kirk, and we were all afraid of her. She had piercing eyes, and when we registered, we each were given a number.
Mm-hmm.
And when we registered, she says, "Now, this is your number, and don't you ever forget it." And I didn't forget mine, and I remember it, still remember it. It was L118. She really...
So your records
made us remember.
Your records that were lost in the fire were all in order.
Yeah, so yeah. Maybe it was a good thing. It's probably saved a lot of time.
Huh. Now, how about Miss Owens? Was she as strict?
She was kind of strict.
Is that a trait of registrars, do you suppose? Or?
I don't know. Probably is. Yeah, the kids were a little bit held to her in. They're kind of afraid of her, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you remember.
Oh, Dr. Lura.
Who was he?
He's the one that that stands out. He was one of the instructors. I don't know what he taught. I don't remember. But when Dr. Snar was called, got another job, there was some talk of Dr. Lura taking his place,
mm-hmm.
and we were all hoping and wishing that he would become the next president.
Uh-huh.
But he went to Mayville State Teachers College.
I see. As president there?
Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I think since then he has passed away.
Hmm.
But he was a fine man.
What did they like about him particularly?
I don't know. He's just personality. He was considerate. I don't know. He was just a very, very fine person. Everyone loved him.
It was the people that made the difference, wasn't it? It was the quality of the person that made
the difference. Yes, it was. And Dr. Murray was a nice, very nice man. He wasn't, I don't think if I was the best of a teacher, but I shouldn't say that. You can erase that.
All right.
But he was just a fine man. He had a daughter that went to school there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, I told you about Death Holmquist.
Yeah. Now, Dulcie Holmquist is someone I'm going to interview as well, and she was there for years and years and years. I know she came after you were a student there, but she was there, I'm sure, for 30 years.
Oh, I'm imagine she was there a long time.
How did she strike you? Now, you remember her very well. What do you remember about her?
I know she was from Colorado Springs,
mm-hmm.
and I just liked her. I don't know what in particular. Mm-hmm. I liked her.
Mm-hmm. Who do you remember the students?
The students?
Yeah. Did you have students who worked with you or that helped you?
Oh, yes. The Cornell girls.
Oh, really? All of them?
Yeah. Well, two or three of them worked for me.
Uh-huh.
And I just loved them, and they loved me.
Uh-huh.
Those Cornell girls, they were something. And then I had a student by the name of Ardith Meland.
Mm-hmm.
She was an outstanding student. She worked for me. And there was another student. Her name was Burns. Oh, what was her name? Anyway, the students that worked for me, they were so nice. And I was asked to be a patroness for the Gamma Nu.
Oh.
And most of the being Gamma Nu girls that worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did it mean to be patroness for a sorority? What did it involve you in, being a patroness for a sorority?
Nothing much, more than just be at their parties. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't chaperone,
more or less?
No, I really didn't have to chaperone.
Just as a guest
just
of
to
honor?
Just to be there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they had a patroness, but they did.
It sounds like it was an honor to become that.
Yeah, it was. I felt very honored. I didn't think that I would ever... Oh, here are my Gamma New Girls.
Here are your Gamma New Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was trying to do one that I liked so much, too. Rakuski was an outstanding student.
Mm-hmm.
She was outstanding in drama.
Mm-hmm.
And there was... Oh, there's Cornell.
Mm-hmm. That's Lois, is it not?
That's Lois, yeah.
Yes.
L. And there was another one. Frisky,
mm-hmm.
Betty Frisky. She was a lovely person. She was just such a good person.
Well, now, were these girls all really bright and interested in the academic life of the place?
Oh, very much. Yes, they were very outstanding. Yeah, and the Dodds girls. There were two Dodds girls, D-O-D-D-S, and they also had a brother that went there too,
mm-hmm.
Andy Dodds.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very good friend of mine, special friend of my son,
mm-hmm.
Dewey.
Mm-hmm.
Those were good years. I enjoyed that job so much.
That's wonderful. Now, why did you leave it?
Well, I guess I just decided I was going to quit working and just stay at home.
Mm-hmm. By that time, you were in your mid-50s, weren't you?
Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you retired from the college and retired to being a housewife and
and
enjoyer of concerts and...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? I think we can maybe bring this to a close. This has been a very interesting review of both an early period and a later period at Morehead
mm-hmm.
State. Do you have some ideas you'd like to make sure to get into the recording?
Maybe I better shut it off while I think.
I won't worry about it.
I can tell in my... I took reading. What do
mm-hmm.
they call reading? And I had Maud Hayes. She was a kind of a character
mm-hmm.
around there. She was a very fine teacher. And each student had to give a term topic
mm-hmm.
at the end of the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And... maybe a dozen verses or more. It was a long, long, long
mm-hmm.
thing to memorize. And I remember when I gave mine, and my knees were so shaky. I was just trembling, so I thought I was going to almost fall over. But I got through it, and I must have done an okay job. She gave me an A.
Mm-hmm.
But up until then, I hadn't done very much in class.
Mm-hmm.
I was too timid to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
But I did my term topic, and I guess she marked me on that.
Nice.
But Miss Hayes was quite something. Hmm.
She That's interesting. So she made you really work and do
new things.
Yes,
she did.
Yeah.
She was a very good teacher. All the teachers were. I really learned a lot, and I loved it.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Is there any other note that you've got that you'd like to comment on? I think it's wonderful that you made notes. So you had such short notice.
Yeah. Well, I just... At the dorms, when the men came to call on their girlfriends, of course they had to stay down in the lounge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't run up to the rooms like they do now.
Yes.
I guess they do anyway.
I guess they do.
Anyway, they of course had to stay down in the lounge, and the girls didn't have a telephone in their rooms. There'd probably be one phone. If they got a phone call, they'd have to be called down to that phone. And so, in order to get their attention, they would throw their cap up or a snowball, whatever, against their window to get their attention
mm-hmm.
that they were there. That was
one funny little thing. That's fun. Yeah.
I know one year I had classes in that big old wooden building, and my first class would probably be on the fourth floor. I'd run down to first floor for the second class, back up to fourth floor for the next class,
mm-hmm.
and running up and down those stairs every day
mm-hmm.
for that quarter, I lost a lot of weight.
Ah.
And I was glad I did. I wasn't exactly heavy, but I was glad I lost some weight. And then when we went to them, we always had to go to convocation and to chapel. And we had a man by the name of Mr. Powers that was our instructor. Mm-hmm. I think Mr. He went to Seattle afterwards. And
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, Mr. Powers was the instructor. And he seemed to especially like that song, Drink to Me Only with Thine Eyes. We sang that, seemed to me it was pretty near every other day. I got so tired of that song that to this day I don't want to hear it. I was in the alto section. But that was one of the things I remember.
Now, did he direct the choir, or he directed
the choir.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then who did the chaplain's work? Who ran the convocations?
I was trying to think about that. I remember the whole faculty was there, and Dr. Weld was there, and he always sat in the middle chair in the center of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still see Miss Leonard with her perky little smile and her sharp eyes. Mm-hmm. But what they had at convocation, I don't remember. Perhaps different speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't remember what they did.
But obviously it impressed you. I mean, seeing the faculty and the president and all that.
Oh, very much so, yes.
It became an hour that was important somehow.
Oh, yes. I felt that they were so far up in the world that I just held them in awe.
Now, did you hold them in awe so much in the 40s when you were working at the exchange and when you in the 1940s, then when you were working in the exchange and working back and forth with all these people coming to get their mail, did you still hold them in as much awe, or had that changed?
Oh, no, not at all. They had come down to be real people like me.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, uh-huh. They were more like me then.
Okay.
They were people I could talk to like I could to anyone.
But you didn't care but you cared as much about the place and about education in spite of that.
Oh, yes, indeed I did.
I think maybe we should stop at this point.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Posell.
Well...